Going live.
Okay.
Está pasando un video. Está pasando un video.
Welcome back, one and all. This is the ninth hour of the Fuente and Miracle present Meet the Professor, the Professor's first birthday party. This is epic. What a tremendous lineup of cigar industry professionals, the most outstanding media professionals, influencers, cigar lovers, smokers, the brothers and sisters of the leaf. We kickstarted things on the International Siblings Day, so we're actually really celebrating all these sisters and the brothers. And we just went back live with sort of the second live stream over on Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in for this second segment. Now, over to you, Jose Miguel Salvador, a dear friend and brother of the leaf in Chile, and the one and only William Cooper of Cigar Coop. I'll hand it over to you guys. You have a wonderful hour. Thanks for being here with us and everything that you do for this wonderful industry.
Thank you, Reinhardt. And thank you to everybody who tuned back in. Really an honor to be here on the 1 year anniversary of the Meet the Professor show. It's become a show that I think Sundays now, you know, at least in the East at 2 p.m., we all, if you're in the cigar industry, we find a way to definitely go ahead. Reinhardt, if you can make me the host, I will need to do that as well.
Thank you.
Okay. But in terms of, that show, it's a lot of us, I know if you follow cigars, we tune into that show. It's great to be a part of this 1 year anniversary. You know, just so people know, we're going to get into our two guests. First, I'm going to have Jose Miguel Salvador, and he's a cigar writer to the world ambassador from Chile. And then the second hour, I'm going to have cigar man Andy Sharfman. So I'm going to be with you for the next 2 hours. Nice to have everyone aboard here. Just so folks know the context, as Reinhardt said, we're in the ninth hour right now. So we're getting into that point right now where we're getting into territory that only a few live streams have seen in the cigar industry over that 8 hour mark. And what I'll say is, if folks do not know what the record is, there's not an official record. I haven't been able to determine what that record is just yet. But I just think I haven't been able to certify what that record is just yet. But the record, from what I've seen, was set back in February by Pete Johnson and Tatuaje Cigars. So it was 14 hours. So we're getting into space now where there's only been a few shows that have done this. And, history's starting to be made. So if you're going to be up at 5 a.m. today, Eastern time, you'll be there for history when that record is broken, and they're going to go another 11 hours after that. So there's a plenty of more things to go. But again, my name is Will Cooper. I'm the host of the Primetime Shows. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cigar Coop. Honored to follow Charlie Minato here, one of the best in the business. And without further ado, I want to welcome in my special guest for the first hour. He is Jose Miguel Salvador. Jose, welcome to Meet the Professor.
Thank you, Will. Thank you. It's an honor
to be with you as well. I know you're from Chile, and it's a country that a lot of us maybe in the States aren't familiar with. But what I know is it's actually the southernmost country in the world geographically, right? It actually goes further south than any other country.
Right. It is. You're right.
Yep.
But interestingly enough, I mean, we have also, it's the longest country in the world.
Yes.
It's a very long country from north to south.
In fact, I was looking at it, and it's longer than going from east to west in the United States. So that's
exactly.
This is massive. It goes up from the northern parts of South America right down to the Antarctic there. And it's a fascinating country. I almost had a job assignment there about a long time ago. It didn't happen. I was disappointed. It fell through, but it was going to be like a 3 month assignment there. So I think I never got to go there, and it's unfortunate. But I, like I said, it's a beautiful country. I've seen geography, and you are based in Santiago, right?
That's correct.
All right. So Santiago is the capital. It's the largest city in Chile.
It is the capital. We have like 8 million inhabitants. It's a big city.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
it's
my
in
first
the center of the country. It's exactly in the center of the country.
Right. And my first question, I guess, I have for you, for folks who may not know your background, and you have a very interesting background. I know you founded the first cigar club in Chile, correct?
That's correct.
You've done a lot in the journalistic and education end. So give us, for folks who may not be familiar with, give us a little background on who Jose Miguel Salvador is.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Will.
Okay.
Well, my first cigar was in Venezuela. I was in a meeting with clients of the bank. I used to work in a bank, and we closed a deal, and the guy was an American person, and he said that in America, when anybody closes a deal, they have to smoke a cigar. I didn't have a cigar at that time. I was like, I don't know, like 29, 30 years old. And I had to say, okay, we do the same thing in Chile, I said, which was a lie, but I had to do that. And that was my first cigar. And it was a Monte Cristo number 4. It was a Cuban cigar. And I remember that I paired it with a beautiful Venezuelan rum, Santa Teresa, I believe it was. And it was like a love at first sight. I mean, fall in love with that, with the flavor, with the full experience. I mean, with the experience of lighting up the cigar, with cutting the cigar, everything was something that I missed during my first 30 years of life. And that was my early years. Then I started to get more and more interested in the theme. I started to study, and I went to the Dominican Republic. That was my first trip to a factory. I visited the Davidoff and Fuente factory because of the bank that I used to work for. And amazing. I mean, they taught me everything I know now. I mean, from the crop, from the wrappers, the fillers, and everything. So when I came back to Chile, I realized that I had some, you know, asset in my mind. There was all this cigar thing. And in Chile at that time, nobody knew about cigars. I mean, we had no cigar culture down here. We had a very large and developed wine culture. As you may know, Chile wine is very famous.
Very much, yep.
Yeah, and so because of that, we have a lot of sommeliers and people engaged in, you know, in the tasting thing. But cigar was something missing at that time. So I started to write about cigars in a Chilean magazine, in a wine magazine. So I started with wine as a cigar aficionado.
Right.
I mean, it was the same thing. They started with Wine Spectator as well. So, and then I decided to open the first cigar club at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel that was just open at that time here. And that was like a beginning of everything. I mean, I went to Cuba to the festival, and I've been going to the festival, I would say for the last 13 to 14 years. And I started to get to know people there, all the, you know, industry people. And then I get, you know, I started to think about opening the franchise, the La Casa de Labano franchise in Chile. And everything happened. I mean, then I opened the La Casa de Labano in Chile, like 11 years ago. And I became a jury at the Habano Sommelier Contest. And I've been jury like for 12 years now. And then I started to train Habano sommeliers in Chile to compete in Cuba.
Nice.
Well, a lot of things. I mean, I can tell you more and more things, but.
No, you know, that's a great story. Now, in terms of when you, before you opened the La Casa del Habano, I mean, what was it? How were you getting cigars? I mean, what kind of shops did you have? Were they smaller stores? Was it less selection? How were you guys procuring cigars at that time?
Yeah. Well, it was all, we had almost nothing. I mean, just counterfeit, a lot of fake cigars, very little like tobacconists, but they sold just like, you know, little cigars, like, you know, a cafe creme, that kind of cigars.
Yeah.
And people, the real smokers, they used to buy their cigars abroad. They, when they traveled, they got cigars. We had nothing like a Casa de la Habana or any, you know, real retailer. That's why it was very challenging. So I had to think a lot about it because the tax thing here is very hard. We have like one of the highest taxes in the world for tobacco. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was challenging. And I was so worried about the anti-tobacco, you know, trend at that time that was just starting. And when I traveled to Cuba for one of the festivals, I met Mr. Alejandro Robaina. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I went to Pinar del Rio to Cuchillos de Barbacoa, where he lives. And he was a fan of Chilean wine. So I brought him Chilean wines and he gave me some Cuban cigars. So I discussed this with him and I said, you know, Mr. Robaina, they used to call it el viejo as a, you know, very, and I was worried because I would like to open a retail in Chile, a formal retail, but I'm worried about this, you know, trend of anti-tobacco and restrictions. And he said something that was very encouraging for me. He said, look, Jose Miguel, the human being has been smoking tobacco for 1,000 years and will be smoking for another 1,000 years. More. So don't worry about restriction. Tobacco had many restrictions in the past and during the history, and it will, I mean, people will continue smoking cigars. And that was something that I like, you know, yeah, you're right. We will find a way to get over any restriction, any law or anything. And I did. And I became a distributor, the local distributor for Habanos in Chile. And for the duty-free and domestic market, and then opened the Casa de la Habana because of that advice from Mr. Robaina.
That's a great story, Dad. That's a great story. I mean, for folks, I know, is it an easy process to become, to be able to open up a La Casa de la Habana? What's like the process like, or is it something that's complicated and takes a long time?
You know, it's not easy. They in Cuba, they really protect their brands, their cigars, so they don't give this to somebody that is not passionate about cigars. It's not that you can have all the money you can, and you can be the largest distributor and retailer in the world, but if you're not passionate about cigars, they will not give you the franchise, because they need somebody to take care about the brand and the product.
Sure. Yeah, they want you to be a purveyor and, you know, just represent that brand well.
Absolutely.
So I can understand that for sure. How long has your store been open?
The store has been open for 12 years now. Almost.
Okay. Okay. When you mentioned when you were in Venezuela, you came back and you started writing for the wine magazine.
Yes.
Did you find, because I have a similar thing, is I really started my website when I was like 2 years into this. journey with cigars. I was actually older than you when I started, and I know what I missed out on. I'm sure you're gonna agree. I found when I started writing about things, I learned twice as much more.
Exactly. Just,
yeah, and it was a great way to share what you knew, but learn so much more at the same time, because you realize what you don't know as you do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And funny enough, I started to write about non-Cuban cigars first, because the only thing I knew was, you know, what Davidoff and Fuente, you know, what they gave me, but all the knowledge they gave me.
Yeah.
So then the people of the magazine, they started to say, well, why don't you start talking about Cuban cigars as well? So that's why I had to go to Cuba. But you're right. You're totally right. I mean, every time you write, you have to write, you have to learn. And with the jury in the contest, it's the same thing. I mean, we as juries, we learn a lot from the sommeliers every year, and they get better and better every year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
It really is, and it's a beautiful thing to see as well. And it must have been something that I would say you were just more than you were really an ambassador to the premium cigar world in your country. So it must have been a beautiful thing to see that develop as you had your journey, just more and more people getting passionate about premium cigars.
Exactly. That's correct. In fact, when you start a business in a market that know nothing about your product, you first have to teach them. And there's many ways to teach. At that time, internet was not, you know, that developed. So the only way was to write, as you said before. And I tried to write in every single magazine I found. I mean, even women magazine, because they are the ones buying the cigars for their husbands.
Yep.
So beer magazines, whiskey magazine, wine magazine, food, restaurant, hotels, everything, but kids. That was
right,
the only.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to do that. You know, no, that's very true. And, you know, it was interesting because when I started doing this, the internet still hadn't quite picked up.
Right.
And really the only way you would learn about cigars a lot of times was through big publications like Cigar Aficionado, where the way they got the information is they got a press release faxed to them from the company. So you were lucky, you know, maybe a couple of months after the cigar was announced before we even knew about it. And a lot of times us today, when we're researching cigars from like 20 years ago, it's hard to get the information because it's not out there. Like, it was only in print back then. So yeah. Now it's a lot easier. That's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when promoting cigar is not easy as well, because you have a lot of restrictions. I mean, anti-law, you can do an advertising in a magazine now as you could before. So everything has to be written as news. For example,
yeah,
like Cohiba is launching a new cigar. That's a news. So they cannot, you know, restrict that because it's
right.
News. And we have, you know, free press down here so far. So,
yeah. No, I totally get that. I mean, we have to say, I mean, we say a lot, even with our podcasts, it's education. We put it on the, as opposed, you know, to entertainment, you know, it's a little easier to do it that way. But yeah, we have a lot of restrictions, obviously, in the States too. But I was going to say, now in Chile, how easy is it to smoke in places? Is it getting much? I mean, imagine if there's taxes going on, is it getting more difficult or less difficult? I shouldn't say it's getting less. Is it getting more difficult or really bad? Because it's no less difficult anymore.
Yeah, right. It is restricted, but we do have, for example, we can smoke in the terrace of restaurants. I mean, if you have a good terrace and an open terrace in a restaurant, you can smoke there. Mm-hmm. If you have open terrace inside hotel, you can smoke it there. So it has been not that bad. We can still, we can sell cigars by the unit. There's a lot of countries now that cannot do that. They have to sell the cigar by the box. And we can smoke cigars at the store. At the Casa de La Habana, we have a lounge and we can smoke. So still, it's like not quite decent, I mean, I would say.
All right, it's not. Yeah, I mean,
it's not like Australia or Canada or what I mean. You know, reading about those countries is terrible.
Oh, one of the guys on my team is from Australia, and what he has to do, like, he'll pay $40 for a $10 cigar. I mean, it's literally, and everything goes through rigorous custom checks when he orders through the mail, and it's very difficult.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you know that in Australia, you cannot sell the cigar with a ring.
No. You have to have that plain band, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's very hard.
Yeah, we're seeing Canada's going to that. Like, it got delayed with COVID. But Canada is already planning on doing that. And the big fear is the States, it could happen here in the States. I don't think it will be for a while, but they're going to push for it. I can tell you that.
They will. They will. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And all the, I mean, we, for example, in the boxes, we have to put the wealth advertise, but not full box. It's only half of the box. So that's still good for us. The warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big fight we had in the States. We kind of have a temporary reprieve on that right now, but I think it's going to come back at some point.
They will, believe me. But we will find a way to overcome it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Chile's kind of situated between two tobacco countries. Peru in the north, and I guess to the east, or a little further to the east, I should say, is Brazil.
Yes, we have Argentina. Mm-hmm. We don't have borders with Brazil.
Okay, so it's a little further east, yeah.
Yes, it's Argentina and Bolivia at the north, and Peru as well, as you said. And Peru, they are tobacco producers. They have good tobacco as well, and Brazil as well, as Alex was saying before. We don't have good tobacco for black tobacco. I mean, we do have tobacco for cigarettes, very good ones, but not for cigars because of the climate, the weather. We have, you know, a much colder weather than, you know, Central America and the Caribbean.
Yeah, I live in North Carolina in the U.S. and a lot of tobacco farms in North Carolina, but the same thing. The tobacco is not for premium cigars. It's for cigarettes primarily.
Exactly.
So it's kind of the same boat. Yeah.
Yeah. You're in North Carolina now?
Yes, I am. I'm outside of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte. Beautiful. Yeah.
Have you been up here?
Absolutely. I love that city.
Well, if you ever get here, you got a place to stay. I can tell you that.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're a wonderful thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's like I said, but I always, like I said, in terms of those countries, do you see a lot of cigars exported into Chile from those countries or not?
No. In Chile, the market is, like, I would say 80% Cuban cigars. Mm-hmm. And the other 20% is very few of Dominican, Nicaraguans, some of Honduras. They are growing a little by little, but that's a market. I mean, and has been there always. I mean, because of the tax issue, is very complex. It's not that it's high, but it's complex. It's a procedure. You have to pay the tax first before getting out the cigars from the airport, and it's a mess. I mean, you have to be here to understand that.
It's when you get into that situation with the taxes, it is a very difficult, like I said, I know the story in Australia, and when you start to reach certain tax threshold, it really starts to hurt. Credit to you that you know, building a business in that type of challenging environment, that you get a lot of credit in my book for doing that, because it's very hard to do that when the government's basically, you know, not helping you out anyway, that, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, all the people from the government, they are cigar smokers. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's kind of funny. We have a lot of that here too. But then when there's a bill, they vote against it here.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And they go to the store, and that's a funny thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, so we'll talk about some of the Cuban pieces in a second. But what is some of the non-Cuban brands that are popular in Chile?
Davidoff, Fuente, Padrón, Oliva, Perdomo.
Oh, okay. They,
yeah. Those are popular. Within this little niche of cigar smokers, the market is not that big, as you can imagine. I mean, we are 18 million people inhabitants in Chile, which have our kids and young, and so there's not a huge market. But it's growing. I mean, it's growing little by little, and we're doing right. I mean, we're doing well, and especially with the pandemic, as you can imagine. I mean, people is smoking more, drinking more, and I would say all the cigar retailers are selling more during this pandemic period.
Was there a lockdown that took place in Chile where you had to shut the business down for a while?
No, we're currently in a lockdown, but we can do delivery and that's not a problem. And that before the pandemic, we never sold a cigar through internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, impossible to think about it. And incredibly, now we're selling 90% through internet.
Yeah.
And I imagine when this happened, I mean, with this passed, we will continue selling at the store, but we will keep a lot of clients from the internet. So period for cigar retailers all over the region. I talk with the people in Brazil, in Argentina, in Peru, and they are all selling lots of cigars.
Yeah, we saw a lot in the US. Like what happened is obviously there's a lot of retailers in the US, and the retailers that had internet ability to sell, they benefited a lot. The ones who didn't, a lot of them had to relook at their business model and say, you know what, we have to now adjust this and have this internet piece now, because if there's another lockdown, we're going to be caught.
Absolutely. And they have to adjust, as we did.
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem is if you have good supply or not. But one thing is that you're selling, but another thing is that you have the cigar, you have good stock. And unfortunately, we have been having good supply from Cuba. I mean, we understand that they are working, you know, with half of the people and half of the time. So, but anyway, we have received a very good supply from them.
That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. And you know, as a La Casa del Habano franchise, there's certain exclusive cigars that in your case, it's probably not. Some markets, it's a big advantage to have some of those exclusive cigars, but you're able to get certain cigars that are only allocated to the La Casa del Habano retailers.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have all of them. We have the Parterías Salomones. We have the Culebras. All of the Habanos that are exclusively for La Casa del Habano franchisee in the world, we receive those. And we're the first and only to receive that, because they cannot retail those brands in another. There's a new category now, which is Habanos Specialist.
Yes.
That is also there are a lot of cigars that are specially made for Habanos Specialist and for La Casa del Habano and for both as well. Right. So that's a good thing to know, because sometimes you have La Casa del Habano, but you also have a very large tobacco retailer and maybe they sell more than La Casa del Habano. So Habanos thought about that and say, well, you will benefit about this specialist or exclusive cigars as well.
Yeah, and I heard that's the same thing as cigars become a specialist goes. Again, they don't just give that designation to anybody. They want to make sure the retailer can move that piece as well.
Right.
Yeah. Has Chile received a regional exclusive or no?
Yes.
Okay, they have. What do you remember what it was? Because I'm sorry, I don't remember.
I made it. I participated.
All right, even better. Great. This is going to be a great topic. Yeah. So talk about that.
Yeah, well, that was the Patagon, the Ramon Ayones Patagon. Ramon.
Oh, I love that brand.
You know the brand?
I know Ramon Ayones, yeah.
Ramona Jones. We did a Petit Edmundo.
Oh, great size.
It's a great size. It was exclusive for the Southern Cone. That is Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay.
Okay.
And that is why it was called the Patagon. Because
that's why I didn't recognize it was a Chile name, Patagon. Okay, yes.
The Patagon, because we share the land, the Patagonia land with Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we thought it a name that was like particular for both countries and Uruguay as well. And we did this Patagon. It was a great success. We sold everything in less than 2 years. And we made like 60,000 units. And now we are working in the second edition, which nice. Will be called the Gran Patagon, because it will be a larger cigar. Mm-hmm. And I'm working hard in that. And that's my passion. I mean,
you'll be getting a phone call for me to buy some of those. So I don't chase a lot of cigars down, but those regionals are fun. And you know, I've done some international travel, and I always have people who international travel. I say, can you pick me up this if you can find it and stuff like that. Some of them, so that's great news. That's very exciting to hear about that. So
yes, that's the trend. And you know, to be involved in that process is really amazing. I mean, because you have to decide the brand, the flavor, the blend, and everything. And I went to the factory in Santa Clara in Cuba to see the rollers making the cigar and talking about the cigar. And I tasted the cigar many times before. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's fun like coming up with that size, because, you know, I like to say, you know, you have a blend, but, you know, every size could bring out different nuances in that blend. So that must have been fun. And I love the Petit Edmundo size too. That must have been a fun size to do with that.
Very, very fun and cool. And that was the size at that time. We did it in 2016. That was the best seller in the country. I mean, and in Argentina as well. The Petit Edmundo was the best seller cigar. So we decided to do the same format.
Yeah, that's great. Right. That's great. I'm so glad that you got to do something like that. That's
That is a format that you like as well.
Yeah, I do. I do. I really do. It's just we actually on one of our podcasts we used to do a show on different sizes of cigars. So it's a fun thing to do. What are the most popular sizes? You said Petit Edmundo is one of them. Are there any other popular sizes in your market?
Yes, I mean there's what they don't like is large. I mean, long cigars. That is very hard to sell down here. They like the robustos, petit robustos, petit edmundos, and petit coronas. I would say that is. Now there's a trend, as you may know, the trend of the thicker cigars and all the super fat cigars. We're not like there so far. But there's coming. I mean, we're starting to sell 50, 52, 54, 55 ring, like the White Churchill, the Roma and Julieta. 54, I would say, is a good ring now that they are looking at 52 to 54.
Yeah, and you notice, and Habanos has been trending towards those cigar ring gauges.
Absolutely.
Now, which, you know, you're starting to see some even towards 58 now. You know, I was surprised, Jose, when I went to Cuba, I was at Hector Luis Prieto's farm, and I was at a couple of the La Casa Habanos, and they were all rolling 60s down there for us down there. I don't know if they were doing that because we were American, and, you know, 60s very big, but I took home quite a few of the custom rolls in the 60s and bigger. So that was kind of an eye opener to me. I said, "Wow, I didn't even think they were doing anything with that, but they are in Cuba."
Yeah, they are doing. I mean, the rollers at home. I mean, for selling outside is like informal. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Exactly. They're just, you know, unbanded, and they do it. You know, you take it home.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, I didn't think it existed in Cuba, and then very good cigars too.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, when Cohiba, when the 50th anniversary of Cohiba, they launched this beautiful humidor with them with the with the Grandiosos cigar. That is a 60 ring gauge, the Grandiosos. Yeah. And that was launched in 2016. And what the, you know, so they are going to that trend. And the tourists, I mean, all the Americans that go to Cuba, they ask the rollers to roll thick cigars. So that's why you saw a lot of, you know, individual rollers doing that.
Sure, sure. No, I agree. And then, of course, if you come here, you can get your 70 and 80s if you want.
No,
Which is, and they sell.
No way. You like that?
I will smoke. I like 60. When you get into anything beyond that, not really. Some of them put a Bellicoso tip on it, which makes it a little more smokable. But no, I do think you can make a very good 60 ring gauge. But a lot of times I see 60 ring gauge people, they make something into a 60 ring gauge it shouldn't be. And they also go the opposite ways. They try to make something into a Lancero that shouldn't be. And, you know, Lanceros have their own following here in the U.S. is what I'll say. A lot of people
talk about the Lancero. I hear Gordon saying that before. I mean, I'm smoking the Fundadores, which is the Trinidad, the Lancero from Trinidad.
Yep.
It's a very, very nice cigar. It's one of my favorite. It's creamy. It's a 40 ring gauge, not 38, as the Bolivar Lanceros. Very nice draw. The flavor is perfect. It's an amazing cigar. I mean, you don't have to put in your mouth an 80 cigar to get more flavor. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I mean, I think that the thin cigars, they can also give you a lot of flavor and intensity too.
They can. I usually like to go, I'm smoking a Opus X Rosado Oscuro Reserva de Fuente to 48 right now. So I like that 48. 46 to 48. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of like my sweet spot with that. Uh-huh. We tend in the U.S. most of the brands are 50 to 52, and we have the Toro size, which is the 6-inch.
Yeah, the Toro, right.
Yeah, so that's a very popular size here. Mm-hmm. But it's funny when we go outside the U.S., you don't see that size as much.
No.
Yeah. Mm. You know, we talked about consumers. How you know, there's a lot of women who, you know, are passionate cigar enthusiasts. Do a lot of women in Chile smoke cigars? Is that something
it's
you're
starting? Yes, it's starting. It's a good question. I have a woman right, you know, next to me now that she's smoking a cigar right now. It's starting, and they are, and they feel like they have good sense of taste, and in fact we have in the store a woman that helped us with you know, with the tastings and all the things, and it's starting to get more and more often to see women in the store buying cigars, not for her husbands but for herself.
I was at JJ Fox in London a few years ago, and I was amazed at the amount of women who were coming in there to buy cigars, and they were smoking it in the lounge. So there was a lot of women smoking, and they were smoking some of the Nicaraguan blends, which I was surprised about.
Yeah. Full body, strongest. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the guys were smoking Cubans, but the women were smoking. And I guess some of the feedback I got from people there is there was, you know, they liked the bold flavors that were in there. You know, maybe not necessarily the strains was there, but there was, you know, very bold flavors right now.
Yes. Yes. How do you feel how you compare a Cuban cigar with a Nicaraguan cigar, for example, in general terms? I know that there's a lot of different cigars, but in general terms.
Yeah, I mean, I use the word bolder for Nicaraguan. And that's kind of what I use. So, you know, you're going to get more on the spice end. You sometimes will get heavier sweetness on a Nicaraguan cigar, which I don't think necessarily is a good thing. But there's general a bolder. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, in the back of my mind, I have that volcanic soil. So, yes. So, exactly. You know, you have that, and there's like more of a minerality to the tobacco. Mm. I do find like the Cuban cigar is more refined. You know, people ask me, you know, what's a better cigar? That's a tough for me to decide.
Yeah, it is.
It is. You know, there are some very good Cuban cigars out there. I mean, you know, as well as there's some very good cigars out of Nicaragua. There's also some very bad cigars that are coming out of Nicaragua.
Of course.
It's, so it's kind of like that. So, you know, I've really gotten an appreciation for, you know, some of the, you know, the history of the Cuban cigars and some of the tradition.
Yeah.
That's helped me learn so much as well.
Any special brand that you like from Cuba or?
You know, from Cuba, Juan Lopez. To me,
Juan Lopez.
Yeah. It's kind of like a boutique. It's our equivalent of a boutique, right? It's a smaller brand. But in terms of what Juan Lopez has brought to the table, I just really, I'm always enjoying that cigar a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. I've enjoyed
funny
that.
Funny because, yeah. Well, you will be amazed about our new regional edition. I will send you.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
Now, this conversation, guys, was not prepared.
No, it wasn't. He asked me, I just pulled him. No, but it's Juan Lopez. Yeah. I mean, it's probably say, yeah. It's an excellent cigar. Yeah, that's great. And I know, you know, if you want to go like with the traditional, like the more popular ones, you know, when Monte Cristo number two, sometimes when they get a good vintage of the tobacco on a Monte Cristo number two, you know, the year it got number one in Aficionado, I had smoked it that year and it was smoking spectacular. And you know, that's what happens is, you know, the vintage is sometimes changing the tobacco. So it's one year may not smoke as good as the other, but the year it got number one, it was smoking really good. I mean, yeah. I guess it was smoking as good as any Cuban I had.
That's a good question too. I mean, the vintage trend, what do you feel about it? I mean, you really believe in that, in this old cigars and vintage cigars that they get better with time or not?
You know, so I think when you age a cigar, some get better and some get better quicker and some may not get better. Some will smoke mm-hmm. right away good, but there's, you know, I'll give you a good example. About 2008, I bought a lot of Padron cigars in one night. and I put a lot of them away. And the problem is I let them sit too long and I still have some of them left and they lost something, right?
So,
you know, I think that's something that the tobacco and the way it comes together, it's going to decide for itself when it's going to peak is kind of what I go for.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you get into something aging like 4 or 5 years in your own humidor, chances are you don't want to let it sit that long is my advice.
Yeah. No more than 5 years. That's your advice.
That's a lot. Yeah. I mean,
that's a lot,
you know, save some, you know, save if you want to save a few, but don't save like all these Padrones like I did because it didn't do me any good. So I always offer it to someone when you come over to my house. I say, I got these Padrones from 2008. I'm like, I'm just telling you, I think they aged out, but people are glad to, you know, they give it to them. So
yeah. So, there's a lot of controversy about that. Same thing with a wrapper. I mean, do you think that the wrapper really, you know, give the a lot of flavor to the cigar or not? I mean, that's another, you know, discussion that we have every time we do a chat with cigar smokers is the wrapper thing. Hello.
Yep. What's up? So the hot spot is back.
Oh,
but guess what? We got some extra special secret top news. We're going to do giveaways. So you guys, right now, you have the chance. If you're still listening and you're still staying in tune, you can guess a number 1 through 100. And in an hour, we will have our winner. So, and guess what? We're going to do this every hour to keep you guys awake.
So, can we participate?
Absolutely, you can participate. I'll send you something. I don't care who wins. Yeah,
great.
Everybody's in it to win it. So get down and get in those comments and put in your numbers. Now, hot spot. All right, Cynthia, you want to go first for your hot spot?
No, Jose Miguel, it's so wonderful to have you on the segment. And William Cooper.
Hello, Cynthia. Hello, Melanie.
I love it. Jose, I love how you're saying that you see more and more women smoking cigars and coming into the lounge and actually buying them and smoking them at the lounge for themselves. And absolutely. I think it's such a delight that you say you have a lady friend or your lady smoking there with you. I think that's fabulous. I hope she comes.
You want to see her? You want to see her?
Yes. See her.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Sounds so gorgeous. Nice to enjoy it together. We appreciate it. Every segment's been fantastic. Everybody's really coming together beautifully. And Ryan is doing good. He's holding on.
All right. Well, let's just add the op. Let me go ahead and throw a
question about the lab.
Go ahead.
Go for it. Girl.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go ahead and throw a wrench in the wheel right now, Jose. So are you ready for this? It's going to get a little awkward. The lady's going to laugh. All right. If you woke up as the opposite sex, what would be the first thing you would do?
Touch my body.
I love it. Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Look in the mirror. What's going
now,
on?
Now, what would she do? Would she freak out?
What's she gonna do? Vanessa.
I know.
She's Vanessa.
Vanessa. Hello, Vanessa.
Hi.
Come here, Vanessa.
Hi. What would I do if I woke as a man? Oh my
I was kind of thinking if you woke up and he was a woman next to you, you're like, I gotta go.
Better question.
This is our silly session. So, all right, guys, be sure to get down in the comments right now. You can guess 1 through 100. We're gonna give away a pair of rock glasses. So now it's got to be within the hour. So get it going. And Cynthia, did you want to ask a hot spot?
All right, what is one of your favorite things to do together? What is one of your favorite things that you both enjoy? Besides the obvious, but I mean, like, what's something that you really share together?
Eating.
Give advice to other couples. How's that? What?
Eating and drinking wine.
Yes, that sounds wonderful.
Absolutely.
Very well. We definitely do that well. Okay. And we're doing it. Everybody's been, I think they're like on their fifth and sixth cigars, the people that are on the marathon. They're all drinking. Everybody's like in it to win it, like we always say.
This is going fabulous. And Andy, you're next.
Peace out.
Okay.
William,
get to guessing.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Gracias. Yeah. See, nice cigar.
Thank you. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. Very nice.
Very good.
Intensely.
Thank you.
All right. Stay well. Buenas noches. Beautiful. Okay.
Buenas noches, Linda.
So Jose, I like you want to answer that question about the rapper that you were just talking about.
you keep up thinking.
You know, I still think you need to have great tobacco and all the components of the cigar. And, you know, sometimes when you add that extra special leaf into the filler, it's like enough to make it the secret sauce. And my opinion is if you put a very good wrapper around not so very good binder and filler, you're not going to have a very good cigar. So I think, you know, yes, the wrapper needs to look nicer, right? And yeah, I think it should impart a flavor, but I still think it's those filler leaves that, you know, I'm very interested in. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. I once tried to blend a cigar, which I'll never try it. But I once decided I was going to be smart and put old Ometepe tobacco in the filler. It was horrible. It was unsmokable, right? So, I like, you know what? You need to be able to work with the tobaccos in there.
Right,
but Ometepe may work good as like one leaf, you know. So
absolutely, but there are people saying that it gives you 5% of the flavor. Others say 10%, and there's a lot of people that say that it's a 50% of the flavor. So it's very hard to say that. I mean, I'm talking about people that are in the industry.
Yeah, it is hard, and I think obviously, you know, depending on the wrap, the you know, the thickness of the wrapper, the texture, the priming, I think that's where it's always going to vary on that.
Right. And the ring, depending on the ring as well.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, like, and this is where I say sometimes with a Lancero, it doesn't work because I think there is too much wrapper. And it sometimes can overpower, like, some things in there that's in the filler. So it doesn't always work to try to make something into a 38 ring gauge, I find.
Right.
I have to say one thing before I log off. Jose, yes. You said that you love Lanceros. I am a Petit Lancero fan. I love them. I love Petit Lanceros. I love Lanceros. It's, you know, that size, the old Cuban traditional size.
Right. I'm glad you say that because it's like old fashioned, you know what I mean? The young people that they are starting to smoke, they don't know about this size. I mean, they just go directly to the thick cigars.
That whole Cuban world, it's a tradition. Like William said, that now the people that are making 60s or 70, 80 ring gauge, I can't even comprehend that. I can't imagine.
You cannot put it in your mouth, probably. I mean, it's too thick. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. You guys enjoy. Stay well. We'll talk to you soon. We're listening to everything, enjoying every bit of it.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it as well. Yeah. The other thing I want to mention is sometimes when you taper the cigar. When you have a Figurado, when you have a Torpedo, Bellicoso, that I think does a lot too with the wrapper.
Yeah, true. And you have to, and also, I mean, there's different flavors in different countries. I mean, the wrapper, the Nicaraguan wrapper, has, I would say, a lot of more flavor than a Cuban wrapper, for example. So that's why when you ask a Cuban about the percentage of flavor coming from the wrapper, they will say 5%, 10%. But if you ask to a Nicaraguan producer, probably they will say 50% because it's...
Yeah, they're right. I didn't even think of it like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because of different characteristics of the wrapper and flavors.
Yep.
In each one of the countries.
Yep. I got one more question for you, Jose, before we kind of move into our next guest. But so if you're on a desert island, okay, what is your desert island cigar going to be? Where you can't, it's the only cigar you can have on the island.
A Juan Lopez, my friend.
Yay! What size? What size?
What size? Edmundo.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Awesome. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It would be Juan Lopez if it was from Cuba for me. If it was not from Cuba, it would be the La Aurora Cien Años Maduro.
Wow.
So that would probably be the other one they did, that's the spectacular cigar. So
yeah.
But there's so many brands. It's like a lot of people ask me, do I smoke one brand? I don't.
Yeah.
Being a cigar reviewer, I don't. So, yeah. I mean, I love Fuentes. I take Fuentes on the island. If I could get these Rosado Oscuros, I take a bun of them. They're not easy to get.
Yeah. So, I like to smoke every single cigar from everywhere. I mean, I love to smoke from Nicaragua, from Dominican Republic, from Honduras, from Cuba, because that's the only way that you really get into the the market, the industry. You have to know everything about everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jose, thank you very, very much for being on the Meet the Professor 1 year anniversary show. I hope we get to talk. I enjoyed this conversation a lot. I hope we get to talk again. And even better, smoke together as well. I
I mean, if you come down to Chile, I will save you some Juan Lopez for you.
Absolutely. Well, let's keep in touch for sure. Really, I really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you so much for being on the show and being my guest tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Will. It was so enjoyable as well.
Thank you, Jose. So we're going to get into our second hour with Cigar Man Andy Sharfman, but I have a special guest who has popped in to the Meet the Professor show. I'm going to introduce him right now. He is the one... the only Christian Aroa of CLE Cigar Company.
Christian,
welcome to Meet the Professor.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on, guys?
Christian, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for popping in here. We do appreciate it. It's been a long time since you and I have talked.
Yeah, it has been, man. Sorry about the lighting over here, man, but I was just out to dinner with Alexandra.
Okay.
So I told her there was one more cigar thing tonight. She said, nope, you're taking him to dinner first.
Exactly. So Christian, how are things going right now? I mean, getting out of the pandemic right now, how are you doing personally? How's the business going right now?
Hey, thank you for asking. Business is going really well. Don Lee and Hamstrom, we go ups and downs. Sometimes we have some breakouts. Other times we've been very fortunate. We just, out of 700 people, we lost one person 4 weeks ago. Okay. But most anything has been we've been very fortunate, very, very lucky. We've had good measures, and Nicaragua production is beginning to increase out of Nicaragua also now too, but it's been taking a long time. But it's been definitely an interesting time for us as an industry and worldwide too. I remember during the pandemic, we were having a bunch of these Zooms. It was always fun and interesting to meet people from different parts of the world, see what everybody else was going through. But fortunately, it's all been really, really good for us. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Christian, I want to highlight something that's really, I think, was really important what you guys did. You guys actually took down in Honduras, you guys became a lot of the model for factories down there. And in terms of just doing in general manufacturing down there, with how you kind of went back when you reopened the factories. And for folks who may not be familiar with that, talk about some of these like innovative things you guys did when you kind of reopened after the shutdowns last year.
Well, thanks. We had I owe it all to the late Estelo Padron, used to run the Villazon factory. I remember years ago, I went to his factory. And he was so clean and organized that I'm a very competitive person. So I just had to make our operation as clean as is or even cleaner. So 20 years ago, we started with this cleanliness process where you walk in and you go through a mist system when you go through operation. So really when COVID came, all we had to do was the 6-foot separation because we had all these measures ready. We always had doctors for our workers as well, because I've always had this thing with the germs and all that. And I always figured, look, if we have one person that gets sick, everybody could get sick in the factory. Plus, people put cigars in their mouths. I think These should need to be 99.9% hygienic, which also helped out the Bayer. We know them as aspirin people in the U.S., but they're very big into crop science. They came in and they showed us better manufacturing practices as well as better growing practices. So you just increased our hygiene in our operation here and there, and really came out with a very good model. And the Honduran government did recognize us as the model for all manufacturing in the country, not just cigars in the country in general.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, when I was down on the farm, this is 2017, what you talked about, the spraying, you're putting your feet in the bath.
Antibacterial
there.
Product.
That's the way you guys operate. It's standard operating procedure. It was for you guys down there. This is 2017.
Listen, man, I'll tell you a quick story. It just happened to me yesterday. We have our factory manager who you've met, Sandra. Mm-hmm. Sandra Choa, she's fantastic. Man, there's nobody better out there. So we had these friends of mine that came in, very nice people. I mean, these people own a bank and they're very affluent family in Honduras. And they just showed up to a factory. They were crossing the border in Nicaragua, as you know. Don Lee is on the way from the capital to the Nicaraguan border. And she wouldn't let him in. And it just turned into this whole protocol that we had to make sure we have our own testing system machine over there. We had to get these people tested before we can get, we had the doctors come in. It just turned into this, I mean, it really was embarrassing, but I know it was the right thing to do. And, we have all these crazy protocols to get in there. But, they were actually able to go in. I go, Sandra, this is crazy. She goes, Christian, that's the reason why we didn't have anybody sick in the factory.
Yeah. Good. That's really good to hear with that. That's good there. So we're a lot of exciting things you've had in the past year happened. I think the exciting thing that I saw, you got out your the CLE 25th anniversary cigar. Excellent cigar, Christian. I mean, it's just
thank you.
You guys are continuing to just deliver, I mean, great products, but that 25th anniversary, talk a little about that for folks who may not be familiar with it.
Yeah, we took the CLE 25th anniversary. My 25 years in the business, which was in 2020 last year. The cigar was supposed to be out for the trade show, which of course was canceled. And I think the cigar came out finally, I want to say November maybe, because our factory was closed for about 2.5 months. And we actually, which we're very pleasantly surprised about, even Cigar Aficionado gave us a really good rating on that cigar. It's medium to full body. It really delivers a different kind of flavor, though, when I'm used to or people are used to tasting from it. And not that I'm stepping away from Corojo. I just wanted to get – I didn't want to cheat. I wanted to come up with something from scratch and come up with something completely different. And we developed the CLE 25th. And now Monday, the day after tomorrow, I actually go to Honduras now and finish off the new one, the CLE Signature, which we're going to be relaunching. It's going to be around that direction. And but the CLE 25th, for some reason, I need that cigar to be box pressed. So it's a very nice box press cigar. We have a cabinet box. And, you know, there's something about one of my first impressions of seeing the Hoyo Monterey, that cabinet box, the way they pack the cigars. I absolutely love it. So I wanted these cigars to deliver kind of the same look and feel. Not that I'm copying them, but there's just certain, you know, cigars that deliver a certain amount of emotion and a certain amount of feeling. And if someone could have 10% of the impression that I had when I first saw the cigars, just when they see the package, and of course the cigar has to be really good, but just the package alone, the whole thing put together. And I hope I'm able to deliver that at least to somebody anywhere in the world. But thank you for asking for that cigar. We're very proud of it.
Yeah, no, I was glad to see it come out there. I've gotten out all the sizes. I just got the 11-18 one as well. So I'm looking forward to smoking that size as well. Like I said, I loved what you did with that. And you know, the Aurora first 20 years Colorado is my all time favorite of the season.
Thank you. That's what I'm gonna light up right now.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk with Gabby and Ferdinand coming up in the next hour.
Okay, yeah, they'll be awesome to talk to. I love those guys. You know, before I let you go, I just want to ask. How's your dad doing? First of all, is he doing well?
Doing well. Thank you for asking, man. He's doing well. He's nice and solid. 83.
God bless him, man. I mean, the energy he had when I was down at the farm, I couldn't keep up with him as well.
Cool. But let me tell you, man, he's coming up with 10-year plans and crap like that. And I keep thinking, man, how am I going to finish these? And I look at my brother, Justo, and he's like, dude, I go, bro, you're supposed to put a leash on the guy, man. He goes, bro, I can't stop him, man. You know, he just, he won't stop going. So I don't know what kind of mess he's going to leave behind whenever he decides to retire. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, good. And last question about the family. I saw your son is obviously having some great things happening in baseball too. I've been watching you on social media with that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he had a game today. They're playing Charlotte. They have a 4-game series. Not doing so well there. They lost. They're not doing the way they wanted to. But yeah, man, he's a freshman, but he's doing well. Yeah, you know, he's getting his at bat, so he's trying.
That's great here. You should be very proud of him on that.
100%. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, Christian, I know you're going to be talking to Ferdinand in the next hour, so I won't keep you, but thank you so much for joining. And like I said, I'll see you at the trade show in July, probably.
Yes, sir. The TPE and the PCA.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing both. I'm probably not going to be on TPE, but I will be at PCA.
All right, beautiful. All right, man.
Christian, thank you for everything, and thanks for joining the Meet the Professor show.
Thank you. Hey, Coop, do I stay on? Do I log back in? What's the story,
man? You don't have to stay on. You can log back in with the same link.
All right. So
you're welcome to stay on. You're welcome to stay whatever you want. You're welcome to stay on, but you could hang up and then just go right back in the same way you came.
All right, man. Good luck. All right, Coop. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Christian Aroa of CLE Cigar Company. And I just want to, again, remind everybody, we're going to get to our next guest. We are in the 10th hour of this show right now. So we're really getting to some historic territory here right now. And if you haven't signed up, go to Cigar Right to the World. That's www.cigarrighttotheworld.com. Patiently waiting here. And I'm really glad to talk to this guy. We've communicated a lot. We've met before. I don't think we've ever communicated on a show before. I want to welcome the one and only Cigar Man, Andy Scharfman. Andy, welcome to the Meet the Professor 1-year anniversary show.
Hey, great. Glad to be here. It's good to see you, Coop. It was good to see Christian, too. Christian's a brother from another mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a nice surprise. So I did have to go to him. But thanks for waiting in the wings there. I do appreciate that as well.
Anytime. Right. How you been?
Good. How have you been? You look great.
Feeling good for a change.
Yeah, you know, good for you.
I mean, how bad can you be when you're smoking a Fuente Blue, Opus Blue?
Oh, wow. I almost pulled one of those out for the show. I ended up going with, I love, like I said, this Oro Rosado Oscuro, but I almost went with that. I did have a blue to pull out, so I came close. And I'm going to go with an 888 Añejo is my second one.
Yeah, I'll see your 888 raise you forbidden.
Oh, I'm folding. unless I pull out my, I do have a rare pink, but Right.
You know, we got to have fun with it. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't remember exactly how we did meet, but I remember where we met. You know, we met at I guess back then it was the RTBA.
It was probably one of the first IPCBRs, because I actually wasn't at one at RTDA, but it was probably like right after that.
You know what? I think you're right. I think it might have been at the one in New Orleans.
Yes, that exactly was the one.
At Don Leoncio's.
That was exactly what you have a good memory. Don Leoncio's, yep. That's where I was going every night and hanging out. That was the Abe Flores place. And that's where we met. Yeah. Good job there, Andy. Good job there. For folks, Andy, folks who may not know who you are, because we have a big international worldwide audience, let folks know who Cigar Man Andy is.
I try and put that on a regular basis. You know, it's been a long time. And, you know, once you get your hands on a good cigar, the rest just becomes natural. It's, you know, I love one thing. Jeremiah always says, do it with passion or don't do it at all. Okay. And cigars became a very big passion for me. And it's kind of funny because I'm going to bring up a couple of names you may remember from way back when. Mm-hmm. But, you know, since Christian was on, I'll let you know. I started going over to Old Virginia Tobacco at Dulles Town Center. Gary Pesh owned the store.
I know the stores, yep.
And Gary kept telling me, you got to come meet some of the owners. We're having some people over. And one by one, he says, you know, we have a guy by the name of Saul Fontana. His daughter lives in D.C. and he comes out every Christmas. And so I went and I met Saul. And then Christian would show up because of the relationship between Christian and Saul.
Yep.
And I really enjoy. I mean, Saul to me, he was, you know, in mi corazón, you know, in my heart, always. I miss him dearly. And that kind of piqued my interest. And then only a few weeks later, a gentleman by the name of Benji Menendez came in. Mm-hmm. And I was introduced to Benji. And to me, this story just means so much. Benji came in and was having a problem trying to get his Photoshop to work on his computer. And I said, well, let me see your laptop. And I did a few little things and we got it working. He says, you know Photoshop? I said, yeah. He goes, can you teach it to me? I said, I'll make you a deal. I'll teach you Photoshop if you teach me about tobacco.
Okay.
And I was off to the races. And Benji was just, to me, to this day, one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever had the pleasure to meet. But thanks to Gary Pesh, all of a sudden, I met Benji, then I met Lito Gomez and Carlito Fuente and Jorge Padron and Ernie Padilla and Ernie Carrillo. And I started meeting all these people. And all of a sudden, I was invited to this 35th anniversary of the Old Virginia Tobacco, and everybody was there. And I knew this is what I wanted, you know? And I had already been doing reviews on cigars and so on down the line. But it's funny, I did a review of a cigar one day. I'm going to get myself in trouble on this one. Called the Arganese Nicaraguan.
I remember that.
I did it on a forum. Mm-hmm. And I got an email from Gene Arganese. And he said, you're the first guy who nailed it. You know exactly what I was trying to get out of this cigar. And he invited me to come to the show. And I went to the show and he hired me on the spot. And the beauty of that was people were coming up to me the following year and saying, if you can sell that, you can sell anything. Come work for us. And, you know, the rest is pretty much history. You know, I've worked with some of the best people in the world. And one thing I pride myself on is I wasn't a normal rep. Okay. I wasn't a normal broker. I was what they call the brand builder. I took brands that nobody heard of, and I tried to make that brand popular and known. I worked with Eric Espinoza, though he was known at the time. I've worked with Christoph for several years, as you know.
I know that. Yep.
I'm not going to go into that whole story. I've worked with a lot of smaller people that have grown and gone to other companies. And I've absolutely adored this industry. You know, it's, there's no other industry like this. It's like, before I got back into the industry, I remember I had stopped smoking for a long time. And a buddy of mine, the guy who gave me the name Cigar Man Andy, actually, gave me a cigar. And I hadn't smoked a cigar in, I'd say 5-6 years. And I was off to the races again. I went right to the cigar store the next day and bought a box of 8 5/8s. I was done.
That's with it.
So I absolutely adore the cigar industry. And I'll tell you what, I kind of got pushed into retirement. And it's okay. Okay. But as soon as I had left working in the industry for a little bit, I had a car accident, then I found out I had a health issue. And then COVID broke out too. And so you add everything together and it was like, what are you going to do? And I found a group. I'm gonna push this out there. I found a group called the Zoom Cigar Bar. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of everything going on a daily basis, I can go on and smoke with a bunch of great cigar people. And it's not a recorded show. It's just a place where you can come and enjoy and relax a cigar and be with good people. But I got to tell you how I found out about it. On the Muirfield show.
Oh, wow. There you go.
And by the way, happy birthday to the Muirfield show.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal show.
It's become an institution on Sundays, is what I tell everyone now. I mean, you just look forward to that 2 p.m. at least on the East where I am when that music plays.
Oh yeah, I have a timer on my phone that lets me know what time it is on Sunday, and it comes right on. And I put it on my 65-inch TV in my cigar room, and I light up a stogie and just enjoy.
Yeah, and you know, there were so many of those shows that started around the pandemic, and all had some bumps and bruises. I think even the Meet the Professor, you know, they were trying to find a niche, and then they found a niche. And you know what? The show is continuing. It doesn't show any signs of slowing down. I mean, I heard they're already talking about a 2-year show next year. So this is it's a great platform, and I think, you know, the Fuentes, this has been, people have just loved getting to know them even better. Same with Jeremiah and Jose. You know, it's provided a platform, and they've had fantastic guests from just all realms of the cigar industry. And I'm honored. I'm tickled pink that they asked me to come in and come on for 2 hours to hear me, you know, because, I'm just honored on that.
Coop, you're an institution. Okay. I don't know. As long as I can remember, I've been watching, and I chime in and check out your show from time to time. And you know, we've been friends a long time. I miss seeing you at the show.
I do too. I mean, there was so many shows, and I was really excited when they said you were my guest. I'm like, this is great. It's kind of like a little bit of a reunion here. So I was very excited about that.
Well, you're coming to Vegas. I'm going to make it a point. I'm going to be there as well.
Yeah, you're based in the West. Now, you're based out West right now. I know you talked about being easy.
I'm based out in California, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're in Arizona. We're taking a little road trip. I'm sitting in our RV right now.
Uh-huh.
The mobile home away from home. And just a funny little story. We're on our way to the Grand Canyon, and we decided to stop in a little town called Oatman.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you know about Oatman or not.
I know the town, and I spent a lot of time in northern Arizona, Flagstaff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oatman's where all the donkeys run free.
Okay. Yes.
And so we spent the day playing with donkeys.
Beautiful.
And not that I haven't run into a few jackasses in my career, but, you know, having the donkeys was fun to be around. You know, it's been an enjoyable trip, and you know, never leave home without a couple of good travel humidors, I always say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say, pack plenty of cigars. You can never have too many cigars as long as you have the humidors and the humidification. You know, so like I took a road trip, and I took a 6-day road trip. I took 200 cigars, and people said, "Why do you take 200 cigars?" I want to have variety, and you know what? I love sharing cigars. Those are the two things I like to have. So, I take 200 cigars, and I, you know, whatever I'll give something out is something. Whatever I'll give out is something I would smoke. So I'm not just giving you my scraps here.
Well, you know, a couple of my favorite people, Fuentes, always say cigars are meant to be shared.
Yeah.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yep.
And I'm like you. I bring more than I know I'm going to smoke because I want the variety. And I still probably stop in a couple of cigar shops on the way.
Exactly. But I love Northern Arizona. Like I was out in Flagstaff in February. And it was, even though it's a little cold there, there's something about that town and that city. I love it. Maybe I'll retire there if I could talk my wife into it. It's either going to be there between there and Florida, two extremes. So,
yeah, remember, they don't allow you to smoke inside in Flagstaff.
Yeah, I know. That's been tough. That's tough. I know. That's the one bad thing. I want to be able to enjoy my cigars when I retire. That's for sure. That's a good point, Andy. There, you know, Andy, you talked a lot about, you mentioned this earlier on, and I you talked about not just being a broker, but the idea of brand building, right? Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of brokers. There's a handful of them that are put into that brand builder category. Talk about what that means to be a brand builder when you're a broker and your approach to doing that.
Now, whether you're a broker or a rep for a company, you have to really love the cigar you're dealing with. You have to love the company you're with, okay? Have the passion for it and let it show. I mean, and have, you know, the bottom line is I would go into a cigar shop or to a lounge, I should say, and I'd be smoking a cigar and all I could do is talk about it, take pictures of the cigar, post on Facebook and post on Instagram and post on, you know, whatever I could get on and promote the store and be excited. Always be excited. And I've never worked for a brand that I didn't love the cigars I was smoking, you know? And that's the deal. I never went to work for a friend because I never wanted to jeopardize a relationship.
Yep.
But I became friends with a lot of people I worked for. And that's the big thing. You've got to be able to separate the personal from the business end of it, but still have that passion and show the love that you have for the cigars. And, you know, even when I was off, I'm not working, I'm going into a cigar shop, I'm still posting pictures of the cigars. I'm still, you know, smoking and talking about the cigars. And, you know, the thing I love the most about it, in the FDA kind of put a crimp on giving out cigars for a lot of companies. But there's always a little loophole you can find. I would go into somebody's humidor. They may not sell the brand I'm pushing, but they were buying three cigars. And I'd say, you know, if you buy two more, I'll give you a free one on me.
Yep.
And so I'm helping to promote business.
Yep.
I think the biggest mistake a broker or a cigar rep makes is they don't talk to the owners or the managers. And then they start giving out cigars to their customers without permission. And now you're taking money out of the owner's pocket. And then they walk out and never ask for the sale.
No, and I really agree with you on that too. You know, in the end, you know, we want these cigar stores, they provide a service to us. They provide a lot of times a place for people to smoke who may not have a place to smoke. And we want to make sure they stay in business and are profitable. So it is very important. Everyone loves getting a free cigar. Don't get me wrong, but totally get it. You know, totally get it as well. You know, Andy, the other thing I'll say is, you know, I always felt like when I would go up to one of the booths you were at the trade shows, or I always felt you were a real extension of that brand. So there wasn't like this broker brand delineation. I felt like you were connected with the brand, which I think is a real powerful thing you brought to the table in your career.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I always felt that way. The owners always said, you don't work for me, you work with me.
Yeah.
And when I got involved with a brand, didn't matter what the brand was, when I got involved with a brand and I truly fell in love with that cigar, I felt like I was one of the owners of that brand.
Sure.
And that, to me, made me feel like I've always been part of the industry in a little bit of a different way. I didn't have to have the money go out, you know. And even when I got offered part ownership in a company, you know where that one landed me. Mm-hmm. I went to it. I always go into it 110%.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to do it all the way, don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in the cigar you're trying to promote, then you shouldn't be promoting that cigar at all. I love tobacco. I love the product. You know, I'm that geek that goes to the Dominican Republic and get in a car with a blender or a farmer, and I want to be able to recognize the leaves that are growing on the side of the road so I can know more. You know, I'm always trying to find out more information. And the more I discover and the more I learn about tobacco, the more I love the cigars, and especially what I smoke. You know, Dave Garofalo mentioned something earlier today, really stuck and hit me right here. He was talking about reviewing cigars for Cigar Journal, which is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to be doing it myself. But I stopped reviewing years ago because I wasn't getting to enjoy the cigar because I was too busy concentrating on the cigar.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can tell you that happens. I mean, it, you know, it becomes a job. It's different. It's a different. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm enjoying this cigar with you right now, and I'm enjoying it. But reviewing a cigar is tough, especially if the cigar is not super primo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's very hard. And I totally, you know, I review a lot of cigars. I can tell you totally that's accurate.
Do you remember Raymond Schur?
I
used to be with Davidoff.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Right before Raymond retired, I remember going to a blind tasting of the Multanque Day at a cigar lounge. And we were all smoking the cigar and having a good time. At the end of the session, he asked before he ended it, he said, can anybody tell me what they remember about the cigar that you just smoked? And the first guy goes, oh, it had a beautiful wrapper, a clean, dry draw. And he goes, no. Next guy says, it was a beautiful sharp burn. It had a wonderful toasty flavor to it. He goes, no. Gentlemen, let me tell you what I remember about this cigar. I had a wonderful afternoon with some fine people, a beautiful glass of wine, only enhanced by a great cigar. And I always remembered that. Some of the best cigars I've had cost me $3 or $4, but it was the right circumstance to smoke that cigar. And some of the cigars I've smoked have been $100 cigars in the wrong circumstance, and I didn't really enjoy it. But I have to tell you, as much as I'm enjoying this cigar right now, what's bringing me the joy is being here with you right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, I think there's something special about that. And, you know, Jose Blanco has that expression on the opposite end of things. What's the worst experience you can have with a cigar? You know what that is?
I know it's not feeding the ducks. Jose loves to feed the ducks.
Yeah, no, it's smoking with an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, think about it. We've all been there. There's that one guy who just sometimes, how can I put it? He just doesn't want to be that guy engaged. He wants it all on himself, and he parks himself right down next to you, and it's painful. You just, that could be the greatest cigar in the world, right? And it's painful. I mean, it's unfortunate. It happens.
And you got to be nice to them.
Yeah.
And you got to be nice to them. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I've met people, you know, in cigar lounges. This to me is the most beautiful thing about the cigars, about the industry in itself. When you go into a cigar lounge, it doesn't matter if you're a trash collector or a politician, whether you're worth $50 million or whether you're worth $50. The cigar is a great equalizer. It doesn't care where you were born, what color you are, what religion you are, what politics you have. The cigar is a great equalizer, and great conversations come out of it. And even some of the guys who, the first time I met, I thought were total assholes, turned out to be good people.
Very true. Very true. Very true. You know, and sometimes, you know, I see this, you know, we have this divide in this country. We have this political divide. You see the stuff that goes on social media. It saddens me, right? That very much saddens me that sometimes I see that now coming into our space, because I always thought, you know, and I know, you know, I always thought we were the industry that, that can kind of buffer that. And maybe we still do it better than most, but it saddens me when I see that divide cross into cigar smokers and people who are friends now suddenly are just becoming, taking sides of something, and no one's winning in that case.
Nah. Hey, you know what? I don't allow anyone to post politics on my Facebook page. No. I just don't appreciate it at all.
Yeah.
I try and keep that completely separate.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You've been to Shelley's back room, right?
Yep, and up in DC. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I have smoked at Shelley's. I can't even tell you how many times. And I've had people from all over the country that have smoked with me there. And I've smoked with a lot of politicians. And you know, nobody ever said, are you a Republican or a Democrat at the table?
No. No, it's true. It's true. I mean, yeah, that's how it should be. And that's, like I said, I think we, I think if anything, we as an industry should at least be the example. And I think, like I said, I think we've still buffered it better than most. I don't want to say we're terrible at it, but I'm starting to see it. At least it hasn't caused many fights in the lounges. If it's, you know, that we really sit hard. I've not been in a lounge where it has been a political fight. So that's a good thing. I'm sure it's happened.
One of the lounges that I love, it's in Loomis, California. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's out near Sacramento area. And he doesn't have a single TV in his lounge. And maybe 8-9 years ago, I asked him, I said, why don't you have any TVs in your lounge? I'm just surprised. And I'm just curious. And he said, do you notice how everybody's involved in conversation? I said, yeah. You notice nobody's fighting? Yeah. You notice there's no news on? Yeah. And there's no sports on because they can watch sports at home.
Yeah.
But by not having a TV in our lounge, we've created an atmosphere of conversation. And I always liked that about that.
Yeah.
And if you look at some of the, it isn't, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having TVs in a cigar lounge.
No, I agree. I agree. But I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you go to the Grand Havana Room in Beverly Hills, which is the one that I was going, that I would go to, you go in there and you don't see a bunch of TVs on during the evening. It's all about conversation and smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Having a good meal. And I miss that. I miss coming down to North Carolina and going to the meat locker over at the Angus Barn.
Oh, Andy, I'm thinking about, I got to get up there soon. It's been a couple of years now for me. Pandemic is, oh, I love that place. I mean, if folks are in Raleigh, you have to go to the meat locker.
You get
a great steak dinner and you can smoke. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the thing that I miss. You know, it's great that we have the Zoom, and I love the Zoom, and I love the Mirfield show and all that. And it's great, and it's camaraderie and all that good stuff. But I miss getting the hugs from my friends, you know, and the physical touch. You know, it's just, to me, it's all been part of it. You know, you go and you shake someone's hand and they pull you in and you get a nice hug and you feel like this is what friendship and brotherhood is all about, and sisterhood. And you know, the last couple of guests before you took over were talking about how many women are in the industry.
Yeah.
Kudos to the women, by the way.
Absolutely.
We're seeing more and more smoking cigars. But for years, it was always the Brothers of the Leaf, the Brothers of the Leaf, the Brothers of the Leaf. And now it's the Sisters of the Leaf and the Brothers of the Leaf. And I absolutely adore that. And a friend of mine made some t-shirts for some of us. I got to tell you, because Liana Fuente did a phenomenal thing. She raised quite a bit of money for the Cancer Society or yep. cancer, breast cancer. And she said if she raised a certain amount, she'd cut her hair. And she raised almost three times as much as she had asked for and cut her hair off. And just so you know, because you haven't seen me in a while, my brother.
Oh,
my
wow.
My ponytail's gone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's my contribution. That's going, you know, for the cancer group. So the t-shirt, by the way, says Save the Tatas.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Save the Tatas. You know, I had Carlito on my show a few days after Liana cut hair. He also shaved his mustache. So I might have the only podcast out there with him with the shaved mustache. I mean, and you think about it, that's a big deal for Carlito to shave his. I mean, that's his signature, you know, him in the
yes,
hat,
sir.
Obviously that in the hat. So part of that signature is gone. So I think I didn't recognize him for I'm like, who is this person? I had to look twice when he came on. But there was wonderful thing they did. They really was. And they really committed to it.
They really are. You know, it's a lot of people, and you see this here, we're getting attacked left and right. This is one of the things about Cigar Rights of America and the World Cigar Rights. We need to do what we can to protect our cigars. I mean, literally, we get attacked from left and right for something that's not known as a major cancer causer. Cigars are the least offensive and the least detrimental to health. You know, I'm in my 60s and I've got 110 over 56 blood pressure, and I thank cigars for that.
Yeah.
You know? The number one killer in America, it depends on who you listen to. Okay. Yeah. You're going to hear people say it's COVID. You're going to hear people say it's the flu. You're going to hear people say, excuse me, that it's cancer, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. But the number one killer in America is stress.
Yep.
It always has been, it always will be. And when you pick up a cigar, and a beauty of something like this, and you take your time, smoke it, enjoy it, it's a commitment for at least an hour to relax. And that, I don't know any cigar smokers that didn't outlive most people.
No, I mean, look at, you know, obviously some of the Titans, you know, Jose Orlando Padron, Gilberto Oliva, Avo. These guys lived into the, you know, 90s, you know, close to 90. You could go down the list. It's very true. And Andy, the other thing I'll say is, you know, I had my own health issue about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not believe the love I got from the cigar community when I was sick and I was in a hospital, and it was, you know, I just was so touched. I didn't really, there's a lot of power that came in from that. I'll never forget that. And I can tell you, it helped me out a lot. It really created, I don't know, because there was a few days it was rough for me for a while, and that got me through it. I mean,
remember,
those messages touched me so much. Yeah. So I'm just,
we circle the wagons.
Yeah, you really do. You do. And it's industry, they come together. They come together when one of their own is, and they consider me part of the industry. They come together. It's amazing.
Last month, I lost my mother. 97 years old, this lady lived.
Oh, wow.
You would be surprised at how many people made comments, sent tributes. Just they all, and most of them, you know, I was talking to my wife about a lot of owners of cigar companies came on and gave me condolences. And this is the thing. There's nothing that we have to do by ourselves in this industry. We circle the wagons. You know?
Yeah, we do.
And look at the great things that some of the owners of cigar companies do. You know, I proudly wear this pin, and I'm going to show it to you. You know that?
That's the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation.
Amen, brother.
Yep. What they do, yeah. You know, we it's amazing. I mean, we have one of the media guys, the smoking tobacco people right now. They're doing a fundraiser on their website. They're a media site, and they sell a bunch of apparel, T-shirts, caps, and they're donating all the proceeds from the sales to the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation. So, I mean, they do great, great work. It's something very special we have in the industry.
Yeah. And, you know, look at where some of the people ended up who we've known. Do you remember Brian Berman?
Yeah. Yeah, he went down to the DR. Running, yeah.
Yeah, he's running Project Manana.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's helping the kids who can't afford it. But when you look at CFCF and you look at everything that they're doing, it's absolutely amazing. Some of the greatest kids.
Yeah.
When my birthday comes every year, I try and raise money up for the Children's Hospital, which also works with the Fuentes, you know, and you look at all the good that comes out of the cigar industry. And I got to tell you, this is why I push the cigar rights so much. The deal is, if we go out of business, yeah, a lot of us will have enough cigars where it's no big deal as far as getting cigars. But look at how many jobs are going to be lost, not just in the United States, but Nicaragua, Honduran, Dominican Republic. You know, you think about it, Costa Rica, Peru. I mean, you could go all over the place. It's amazing. And they want to pick on us. I don't get it. I just don't get it. You can't regulate cigars. You can't sit there and expect water that flows constantly to be tested, you know, to be the same water source you had 7, 10, 12 years ago. You just can't do it. So we need people like the Cigar Rights of America and the World Cigar Rights to be able to fight for our right, for our freedom to smoke and enjoy cigars. You know, I understand not going into a restaurant, smoking and affecting other people while they're eating dinner. I understand.
I get that too. And I don't think we're really that type of person. I think most people are very respectful in the cigar business. There's always a few, but I mean, but most of the cigar smokers are very respectful, I find.
Yeah. You look at the average cigarette smoker, and I see it all the time. They throw a butt out the window. They stamp it out on the street. They don't use ashtrays a lot of the time. I understand filters are dirty. They're disgusting. They trash up the place. Oh, you watch a cigar smoker walk down the street with a cigar, and the cigar goes out, and they wait until they know it's out before they get rid of it.
Yep.
They throw it in the proper place. Or they go into a cigar lounge and smoke a cigar. And then there's always inevitably that one woman who walks in or man that walks in and wants to open the door, walk in there and tell us how disgusting it smells. Well, why'd you come in here if it's disgusting to you? You know,
yeah.
This is our sanctum.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Andy, it was an interesting thing. My son and I were in New York City, and we were walking down the street. My son's old enough to smoke, and we got to a red light, and my son turns to me. He says, "Dad," he goes, "let's move away." And I'm like, "What do you mean move away?" And he points. There's a couple of kids there with their family. One was in a stroller. And, you know, I said, "You're right." And we pulled away just because, you know, we didn't, we'll wait to cross the street is what we said. Mm-hmm. And that's what we tried to do, you know, because we didn't want to smoke on a baby or that family. You know, they're not, you know, we tried to do the right thing. And unfortunately, you know, we get this bad reputation all the time. And it's a shame.
Yeah, we get the bad rap, but we're good people. I mean, even Melanie smokes cigars, you know.
Yes. I get the worst rap in the world. I swear, these white rappers, they come up to me all the time trying to like string some words along, and I got no clue.
Melanie, I actually want to say this on the air. You did the job you did with Abe on The Great Smoke. That digital experience was fantastic. You and the whole team, and I want to recognize that. Thank you for what you guys did that day. It was a very important day, and you did a great job.
Well, that was a big deal to all of us, I think, and definitely, good God, I'm just so glad that he did it, that he led us to that, because it started, you know, I mean, I kind of think that the Marifel Fuente meets the professor kind of was the show that started the whole everything virtual. Let's just go ahead and say that.
And lasted. A lot of those didn't make it. And you guys have kept that. I mentioned it's a Sunday institution. And, you know, it's people love what you're doing. And now you're doing stuff every day on social media and you're making a lot of people happy. And I think that's important.
It is. Now I just need to make me happy. Can I make me happy?
I hope so.
I want to know, late night, this is a late night. So this is like a lock-in. All right. I love it. So I've got loud neighbors next door, but that's going to be hilarious because they're going to hear me yelling at you guys. Because I want to know, what would be your favorite late night snack? Like, if you could go have a snack right now, what would you go get?
Oh. Make me happy. Fudge Tracks ice cream in a heartbeat. Some people call it moose tracks, but Fudge Tracks, you know, peanut butter and caramel and vanilla ice cream. I just love it.
Mm.
And I want to thank you because I'm on a diet. I can't have anything.
You are very welcome. Yes, sir. You are welcome. Right now.
Yeah. I like the I like the late night sandwich. To me, going into the refrigerator at 2 a.m, making a late night sandwich is something that's really my favorite thing.
Yeah, that's true. But that's got to be the worst thing ever to eat late at night.
It is the worst thing. And when you take medication sometimes, that you know, sometimes upsets your stomach, it's even worse. I was taking this medicine once, where it was not the best move to make.
Well, I'm actually also gonna make a comment about your outfit. I'm digging the t-shirt with the blazer. It's quite not like you're spiffing it up.
Well, I saw Reinhold and you know, Jeremiah. I mean, I had to kind of try to spiff it up a bit. I wasn't gonna put the tie on. It was a little tight, a little hot to do that, but yeah.
It kind of looks like you're pimping Abe out a little bit with the KMA radio. I mean, I did
KMA radio this morning, so I didn't change. I probably should have changed for the occasion. Right.
That's awesome. All right.
You're very handsome, William.
Thank you, Cynthia. Coming from you, she is the Jackie O of the cigar industry. Well,
thank you. Aren't I glad that I get her to be on my show? I'm like, yeah, I got the queen of queens.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, it's
Melanie,
we
gotta win it, girl.
I'm in it to win it, man. I'm telling you, I got my second win now. I'm gonna go downstairs and smoke my cigar. I'm getting an angel share out, and I'm about to look up some even more funnier, awkward, some more questions.
And we got a winner. Somebody won, I see. So now we'll go for the next hour.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're gonna do this again. Next. All right, guys. This time you're gonna guess, just because it was so difficult for you guys to get it last time. I'm gonna do 1 through 500.
There you go. Make it a little more challenging. Yeah.
Andy, welcome to this segment.
Cynthia, miss you, girlfriend.
I miss you too, Andy. I mean, you've been with us for so many years. You've become not only a brother of the leaf, you've become a mentor to me. I mean, a family member. And you have been with us all the way back to the beginning of the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation. I want to ask you, one, can you share with us one of your most special moments when you were there at the foundation, looking at those children? Can you share one of the memories?
There's so many.
And you've been such a supporter for us for all these years.
In 2015, your brother prodded me to stay a couple extra days in the DR. And we went to the foundation. I have my favorite picture of your brother with a baseball bat, swinging a baseball bat. And this beautiful girl, and I can't remember her name, started singing. She was just a child. Started singing to Carlito. and walked down, and Carlito just put his arms out around her, gave her a hug and a kiss. I will never forget that. It was the time you all broke ground for the technical center. And that is in mi corazón, just right here in my heart. And I'll never forget that. And Emilio playing his guitar. And I have to say this, if somebody out there has never gone to CFCF, if they've never been to the Foundation.
Nobody's won in William, but they will be going soon.
Yes.
William! You have to go. You just have to go. You'll never look at cigar industry the same way.
I agree.
I believe it. I believe it. I haven't experienced life the same way since I've been on the professor's show. Like, nothing is the same anymore. No. I know way too much information. It's like osmosis. I mean, when I hear myself talk, I'm like, who is that?
This year is turning around, but Melody, for the best in so many ways. And like Andy was saying about the virtual cigar lounge, that has been such a blessing to us all. But just meeting so many people and doing what we've done with Meet the Professor. When Jeremiah thought of this from a Thursday to a Tuesday.
It was right after our show.
Yes.
It was like right after our show on Sunday. Yes. We were all on there and we're like, well, why don't we do this? And boom, boom, bam. And it was like,
And who's to say that we're going to be 1 year later, like, pushing even harder. And
yeah. I gotta wait. Let's give credit. I gotta give credit to, and then we're gonna jump off. Sorry, we didn't need to take up. But Jeremiah totally called me up, asked me if I wanted to be on the show. I said yes, and he said, "Thanks. I'm glad you said yes because I already created the trailer and you're in it." I was like, "But that's how he works, man. That man is like, he does something, he does it. I love it."
We have met in person, Melanie and I, but it's like we see each other every day.
Yeah.
And it has been a true blessing.
Melanie, wait until you come to a show for the first time.
Yeah.
I want to share a story about the IPCPR back in 2009. A buddy of mine decided he wanted to come, and he heard there was a herd. It was at Don Leoncio's, the same place Willie and I met. And we were there, and he came, and he's not noticing anybody, but he's trying to impress me. He's smoking Dada Fire, he's smoking Opus X, he's smoking all the high dollar cigars. He's not noticing that behind him dancing is Don Pepine. He's not noticing Pete Johnson. He's not noticing Ernie Carrillo is sitting right there with his set at the same group we're in. He's not noticing anything. But I look over my shoulder and I see Tony Cattendale. I know if Tony's there, that Carlito's there. So I said, excuse me for a minute. I saw a friend of mine here. And so I told Carlito about it. And he comes over and I said, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Carlito. And Carlito comes over and I go, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. And his hands started going like this. Carlito, yeah. Didn't recognize anybody else in the industry, but I guarantee you he will never forget that herb as long as he lives. I've met
people who have smoked cigars and they don't know. I've heard it on Clubhouse. There's this new app out there, this Clubhouse app, and it's just people chatting on audio. And this guy, and I know Garofalo would know this because he was on there. He was talking with him. But the guy apparently wasn't really into the industry, but he was into another kind of industry. But he knew he used to smoke cigars. And he was like, yeah, that guy used to make that amazing cigar, like the Fuente, I think it was. Oh, no, he said it was Opus X. That guy that made the Opus X. He's like, you want to be like that guy. That guy was, I don't know. He remembers smart. I was like, oh, this is fabulous.
Yeah. So Melanie, are you going to the trade show this year?
I don't know.
You should.
Because I tell you, there's not the thing I like seeing the most about the trade show is seeing someone see the trade show for the first time.
Amen.
It's no better reaction. Yeah, it is. And I always like when I took Bear a few years ago, I couldn't wait to see his reaction. You walk into the city, it's a city you kind of walk
in. It is.
It's a mini town you're in for 3.5 days. You say what you want. I know people say this and that about the trade show. That is an incredible feeling when you're on that trade show floor and you walk in.
All of us,
right? Yeah.
I have to tell you that not one show has ever gone by that Andy has not come up to me and put a check in my hand for the foundation.
He's very committed, from the bottom of our hearts.
You have been with us for all these years, and we love you, brother.
Oh, we love you too. And I tell you, I look forward to seeing you this year. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We got our second vaccination, okay. So
I'm a young buck over here. I can't get a vaccination.
You will. From here to then, you will. But you know the beauty of it is that we're together no matter what. Through the ups and the downs, like William, you said, when you were ill in the hospital, when Andy's had his challenges, we are together.
Really?
And it's true. We're united and we support one another. And it's really beautiful.
Yep.
Well, look at us right here celebrating a birthday for the professor. And he's asleep. What the heck is that
all about? He's asleep. Shut eye. I was wondering where he is. I guarantee he'll be up at 5 a.m.
If we were in Switzerland right now, we could give him a hard time.
Well, says him at the restaurant now. Jeremiah Calito, I bet you he's still watching. He's there. I haven't seen him.
Well, I bet they're looking at him.
Thank you, William. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
I know you could go for 5, 6, 7.
We could.
Control, okay? Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Right.
Take care. We're in for the next one.
See who's going to win.
All right. Good luck to everybody there. And everyone, please join Cigar Right to
the line.
Take care. Please join Cigar Right to the World. It's so simple to join, right? You just go to the website and you sign up. You don't have to write a check or anything. We need to build awareness. Andy just talked about this earlier on. We need numbers. We need numbers in the CRA in the U.S. We need numbers all around the world right now. So what Reinhardt and Jeremiah are doing, that's very important. It's not costing you anything to join, but it's showing we have strength in numbers there.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I joined the CRA back in 2010 in its infancy, you know, and it took all of about 5 minutes after they announced the World Cigar Rights where I was a member. And I was grateful when I was asked to be an ambassador for both. And, you know, I can't speak highly enough of this. If you're not a member, join. It's not a lot of money. You know, the CRA, you know, they usually give you a couple of cigars when you join. That pays for all the membership and you're helping, okay? It costs you nothing to join the World Cigars, you know? It's nothing.
Right.
And there's so much that can be done. Your voice is important. No matter who you are, if you smoke cigars, it's your duty to protect our rights as cigar smokers.
Yeah, and Andy, if there's anything important about this marathon, that this is what we're trying, this is the awareness we're trying to build tonight. And a lot of people are doing this and making time, you know, this is very important. So it's creating more awareness. We want people to sign up for it. It's a great program. It's just at the beginning. It's at the infancy. So very important. And here's the other thing I'll say. When those petitions go out, I know we're petitioned out, right? You got to keep signing those petitions. And it's important if they come out a second time to sign them a second time because there's different people in Congress who need to get that message. So really important that when you see a call to action and you know, take it, they're really trying to look out and it's strength in numbers here is what we need here. We've had success in the courts, but not everything will go our way in the courts. So it's important we make that voice known in Washington as well.
You know, I may get in trouble for this, but there's a reason Durbin's first name is Dick, because he's trying to raise the tax 1,000% on cigars in America right now. And, you know, we're trying to stop it. And it's amazing with signatures. You get enough signatures, what they will do.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They don't know. These guys don't know. Like, they don't have a clue. And what happens, Durbin's bill is dangerous because it's stuffed into something else. And those are the bills that are the most dangerous ones. The standalone bills actually aren't as dangerous as things like this, when they're putting it into, you know, women's health. And look, there's good things they want to do in that women's health bill, but don't put the whole thing on the cigar industry here. Don't sacrifice the cigar industry is what we're saying. But, you know, so this thing, you know, you could say I support the bill, but not like this, you know, so make your voice heard on that.
I'm telling you. And I got to make one more statement here because I see Christian is in the waiting
yep.
room.
Yep.
Since he's there, I'm going to say I still have two of those 2003 1118s, and you and I will smoke it when we get together the next time, brother.
We got to make it happen, man. Finally.
Yep.
We will. You know, I've been holding on to them, and you and I are going to smoke them together, my friend.
I would love that, man. I would very much love that.
Yeah. No, Andy, and most of all, I want to thank you very much. It was great catching up with you. I hope to see you at the trade show. I hope we smoke together, more importantly. So thank you very much for being on the Meet the Professor 1 year anniversary show.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor, truly an honor. And I look forward to many more years of friendship with all of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You take care. You stay safe and look forward to catching up with you.
Take care. You too.
Okay. So I'm about to pass the baton here, but I want to introduce your host for the next 2 hours. And I'm really glad that I was the opening act for this guy. You know, a lot of us in the media, there's people cover the cigar market in the U.S. There's people covering the Cuban cigar market. But what Ferdinand Pete has done with Ministry of Cigars is he's created a whole new area of coverage for the international market, which we didn't have before. And Ferdinand, he's done a great job of it. I've gotten to know him. Ferdinand, I want to introduce you and thank you for what you've done and everything you've done. And keep up the great work, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And for me, it's actually pretty, pretty nervous to follow you with all your experience in podcasts and podcasts and live streams. I did one or two Zooms as a guest, but this is the first time hosting something. So, and then I see Christian waiting in the back room to probably grill me. I'm little nervous.
No, you'll do great, my friend.
I hope so. I got great shoes to follow because first Charlie, then you.
I had to follow Charlie. Guys. No, I'm the opening act. You guys are going to do great. As we get into record-setting territory, 5 a.m. Eastern time, by the way, will break the podcast record. At least from my records, it was 14 hours. So by Pete Johnson. So there's a lot still to come here. But Ferdinand, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to you. And I'll be tuning in, listening to your segment. So best of luck and thanks again.
Thank you, and thank you for the last 2 hours. And let me see how I do that video thing that, no, it's not showing, right?
No, hit the share screen and you should be able to do it.
Share screen.